Good afternoon, everybody. It's Monday. Neither me or Anthony in work, so we thought we'd record Pod Pals. It's 14:06 on a Monday afternoon. You're all at work and your jobs with your money and your disposable income. Not us. We bring you this podcast for free. In fact, it costs us money to do it.
This could be our future, you know. Well, let's keep leaking it.
Normally, I'm cheery and I introduce the episode and say, oh, it was written here and it was directed by this man. But you know what? I'm going to sit here and drink me tin of lager. And I'm not going to do any of that.
Then I think you've had enough.
I'll tell you when I've had enough. Good afternoon, everybody. Good evening, whenever you listen to this. Hello, hello. Me and Anthea, it is Monday afternoon. We're here to review I Married Marge, written by Jeff Martin, directed by Jeffrey Lynch, airing on Boxing Day 1991. But before we get into all of that, let's have a quick job update from Anth. What's happening, Anth?
Monday afternoon and here we are. So I think this is very much a window into my future, potentially.
Sitting in your dressing gown, picking your own ass, recording a podcast.
Just eating some cereal so I don't die. That's all I'm shoveling it in for.
Oh, dear me. Well, oh, one second. Sorry, my little dog has just... Did you hear him there?
I did, yeah.
Yes, there's some children just walked out, and I forgot to mention that he's an XL bully, so I'm just going to open the window to get them chased off.
I was going to say, it's usually you that starts barking when you see kids, Dan. It makes an absolute...
at the mouth. I'm making paedophile jokes every Monday afternoon. Why not? Oh, tell you, mate.
Your job and your employment. I'd rather be here.
Hey, with my friend Daniel.
He'll never leave me.
We did mention last week that me and Ant do a Sunderland podcast, so I am waiting on Tenderhooks on the off chance they're about to sack Michael Beale. So if you don't know about football, that's completely irrelevant to you. So I'll move on quickly and ask Ant the Simpsons question. And Ant, I do hate to bring it back around to work, but you know, this episode centres on Homer looking for a proper job. Have you ever had a naff job that was no good in the long term?
Yeah, I've had an output, to be honest. I'll also say in this one, this current one I've been at for like 10 years now, pretty much. But when I first left university, I was like wide-eyed and had all these hopes and dreams. And I was like, well, I'll just work in a call centre for like a couple of months while I get some money, and then I'll follow my dreams. I'll go off down to London and see what happens. So I started doing outbound cold calling and trying to get people to change the gas and electric, and it was terrible. Literally taking 300 calls a day, getting hung up on 200 of them. The most sobering moment of my life still to this day was getting told to shut up and never call again by a 7-year-old girl. I've never felt as low as that in my entire life.
Yeah, you do begin to ponder your own existence, wouldn't you? That outbound cold calling, that feels like the lowest of the low kind of jobs. Like that's a job for people who promise themselves this won't last forever. It's just a stopgap.
Well, that's what it was. And like, luckily I got out there fairly quickly, but I remember when I first started, it was right sort of when Wolf of Wall Street first came out. So all the middle management people at the organization were like trying to work Wolf of Wall Street and make it seem like a real high pressure, trendy, cool job. Like, oh, look at all these possibilities. And it's like, oh, this is how we started. You could be like a Wolf of Wall Street. And I was like, I'm selling fucking gas and electric to some 70-year-old from the Midlands. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not doing cocaine off a hooker's ass. Like, don't try and do the same thing.
Like, do cocaine off 79-year-old Edith's ass isn't the same. that sounds grim. Would you like to hear about my dead end jobs?
Say, what about you? Because I feel like, just thinking back, you've done everything. You're like Mr. Ben. You've like dabbled in every possible profession you ever could.
So me and the missus, we were just totting up how many jobs I've had, and it's currently up to 19, and I've been working since I was 17. So, you know, I've worked in loads of bars, loads of, like, that just goes without saying, I've worked in like a 5-star hotel and I used to steal the bed linen all the time. I really did. I worked for Domino's delivery driving. I've still got the shirt. I stole that too. Wherever I've worked, I've always stolen. I'll say that much at least.
And I will continue to do so.
I've had lots of dead end jobs. I think just for me, sort of, I worked in a really, really rough bar once, around where near we live. You'll know where it is, Anth, but it was rough anyway. I was sort of working there and I thought, oh, you know, this is all right. They made us a supervisor. I thought, hey, this could be okay, you know, for a few years whilst I get through university, et cetera, et cetera. And then I seen somebody literally break a pool cue over the landlord's head. And I was like, this isn't worth the minimum wage I'm earning.
It's getting a bit naughty for me, this.
Yeah, I mean, and then when his wife kind of ran out and she picked up the two halves of the pool cue and tried to like batter the assailant. Then the assailant just took both halves like Steve Blackman in the wrestling and just started leathering the landlord with two pieces of pool cue. Honestly, I was watching through the window and I was like, oh, I don't think this is a good time to ask him for a holiday. I think there is a certain amount of growth that has to be done. And I think you get that by doing shitty jobs. And it's only once you've done the shitty jobs, you recognize what a good job is, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. If nothing else, it is character building, isn't it? So I think there is that element of it.
Yes. How about some fun facts, Anth? Because there's only two, if you will believe it.
Really?
When I was looking at the fun facts, I was reading through. I was like, that's not fun. That's one was just about like the Korean animation again, that like they'd done the eyes wrong because they started using a particular type of stencil and they didn't look Simpson-y, so they weren't happy. And I thought, we've talked about the South Korean animation a lot.
Yeah, we can't keep throwing shade at them, can we? They're just doing the best, like they're working with the tools they've got. So,
well, that's it. And so the two have got Marge's hair was made shorter in the flashbacks to make her appear younger. Now, I don't know why that worked, but it does work.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I feel like given, even like with Baby Bart, you give Baby Bart like bigger eyes and stuff. And I think it just makes, like, I feel like that's very much the golden rule for like animation. Like, if you want to make someone appear younger, just give them a bit more hair, or in Marge's case, a bit less, obviously, and make their eyes a bit bigger.
I think it worked. I think this worked because it's a bit like, well, as she gets older, she's got more hair. That's like as things age, I guess. But like a little bit like if you saw a tree down and there's like however many circles are inside, that's how you can tell how old it is. And this is what the podcast has become. I'm sorry, listeners, that isn't the fun facts. Okay, I'm sorry.
I was listening. I was like, God, this is really boring. This basically, your hair grows the longer you live. That's what you're trying to say. In a really roundabout way.
So that's number one fun fact. Would you like number two?
I hope to God you've saved the best till last.
The Simpsons would go on to do birth origin stories of all three children.
I can't remember, Maggie. No, to be fair, I mean, it's fucking better than Marge's hair grows. Christ. What I mean?
Fun fact is Marge's hair grows sometimes.
But, I know the Bart one. Obviously, it's this one. Then the Lisa one as well. I can't think of the Maggie one. Like, does that come in a later season?
So So Lisa's first word is in season four. Maggie's, it's called And Maggie Makes Three, I think. And that's in the sixth season. I want to let us go. Yes, there it is. I'm just quickly looking at their Wikipedia.
That's one of my favorite episodes. That just because it's got the clown bed. If you should die before you wake.
Like, right, it's a fucking belter in it. Absolute belter then. What was he thinking? Like imagine putting your bed to bed in that. Imagine.
Now you can laugh yourself to sleep, and he's just staring down. Like, the thing is, it's one of those things, like, even before he's finished, he must have seen it, like, taking shape, like, early on, and thought, this isn't going the way I want to do.
Exactly. But, like, at that point, you're committed.
Like, you bought the materials, now you might as well.
Exactly. You beat a B&Q, you've spent like 260 quid on wood, you're gonna have to like just keep going. And that, Anth, is the end of your fun facts. I apologize.
Look, I mean, you started very, very poorly, and you didn't really improve from there, but it didn't get any worse. So
this, fair play. That sounded a lot like my quarterly review with my manager. Started badly, it's no better. If it doesn't get better, we'll have to let you go.
I always remember I had one like sort of the middle of last year, and they went, okay, so, you know, last sport you're in, I think it was March, and we've outlined this, and this for your objectives. Haven't really hit any of those, Anth, if I'm honest. And I was just like, yep.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I continue to be grateful for this opportunity you give me. Thank you very much.
It's a bit like that joke of Family Guy where Peter wins the lottery and he's like, okay, Lois, I'm going to go tell my boss to shove it. And then it cuts away and he's just talking like it. I would be remiss if I didn't thank you very much for the opportunity that you have given me. And for years of hard work, it has been an enjoyable experience, and there is a giant poo on your desk. Because you would, wouldn't you? I always thought how I would stick it to my manager is have a poo on his desk. That is a fantastic way to sign off.
Like, your manager knows where he stands then, doesn't he?
Well, exactly. He is fully aware that you don't like him that much.
Because in no way could that be an accident.
You don't poo on someone's desk by mistake, do you?
No. Again, someone's going to be just skimming through this podcast, and that's the bit they're going to stop at.
Oh dear. I mean, I was listening to last week's podcast because I was doing some gardening this morning. I reviewed our own work just in case there was anything wrong with it a week after the event.
A week after it's already been in the public domain. Well, yes. Done.
And like, I was like, right, I skipped forward just a random bit. I was like, I'll just listen to a section whilst I'm gardening. I mean, I didn't have any headphones in or anything, and it was just good. Oh, I went to the dentist and got rimmed. Which is just an outrageous.
Your neighbour over the fence. Morning, Ted. You all right?
Aye, he got rimmed at the dentist. Right, enough about rimming. Shall we get into the plot?
Yes. Again, that's one of the things you shouldn't have to say, but aye, let's get into the plot.
Okay, the episode opens where we have a worried Marge that she may be pregnant again after a home pregnancy test is inconclusive because Homer bought, like, which looked a good novelty one, but, you know, if it doesn't work, then it defies the point.
Barnacle Bill's home pregnancy test. Like, what do you think the level of accuracy is with that test?
I mean, no baby there be.
You think that would have been about $15, $16, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it literally says, look, if it gans this colour, you're pregnant. If it gans this colour, you're not pregnant. But if it goes any other colour, which it inevitably will, you pay the $12 for them? Like, what have we done?
What's the point of you? So on that note, they do often go to Dr. Hibbert's office to take another test. Whilst Marge is gone, Homer reminisces with Bart, Lisa and Maggie about the story of their marriage and Bart's birth. I do like the way they do the flashback episodes, actually, where the children kind of just gather around and round the listening tree, and Homer tells a story.
Yeah, it is just that, like, old-fashioned, like you say, just telling a story, like, round the campfire sort of thing.
And the Shelbyvillians banished the lemon tree forever because it was haunted. Now let's enjoy a cold glass of turnip juice. I do like that bit. That's one of my favourite jokes.
Brilliant.
I'm going to start working it into conversation.
Just carrying turnips around me all day.
Right, Daniel, I think you've got about 8 weeks left. Oh, let's enjoy a cold glass of turnip juice. As I slide off my chair mid-diagnosis.
I think I said at the tail end of last week as well, like you're saying, you like the flashbacks episodes, particularly this one for me, like, these ones feel canon. Like, I know they've obviously been done to death as the seasons have gone on. Like, they reworked it so, like, it was in the 90s and, like, the 2000s and stuff. But this one, for me, like, growing up when we did, like, they met in the '80s and this is what actually happened.
Homer is working at the mini golf course whilst dating Marge. Hey, he's going too fast at that golf course castle, isn't he?
He is. But he takes the advice like a pro, and you know, before long, he'll be the man that hands out the putters, which is what I think you stride for really in that line of work, don't you?
Well, we said earlier about you have to go through bad jobs to get to the good ones, and handing out putters sounds like a good one to me. At the end of the date, Bart is conceived when Homer and Marge have sex in the golf course castle. Marge accepts Homer's proposal of marriage, and the pair marry in a seating wedding chapel across the state line and spend their wedding night on the living room couches at Marge's family home. As Homer's wages on the golf course are insufficient to support his growing family, he applies for a job at the nuclear power plant but is rejected because Smithers favoured the two other applicants who happened to be his old college fraternity brothers. There's a lot to analyse in that scene, actually, because I do feel that's how it works in the working environment.
Yeah, it's all about who you know, innit? It's all about who you know.
Like, what you know is great, and it's a nice compliment to who you know.
Yeah, exactly. I did like, as well, going back a scene to the when they get married, like, I loved the seediness of that marriage chapel. What was it called? It was called, like, Shotgun Pete's or something. Was the
Yeah, Shotgun Pete's.
Imagine being a little girl, right, and looking forward to your wedding day all your life, and then someone's telling you, you're going to get married at Shotgun Pete's. Like, even the guy who marries them, he doesn't even say the names. He's like, you, Homer, and you, Marge.
Yeah, that is funny, isn't it? That is funny. I do think in America there'll be a lot of businesses called Shotgun Pete's.
Yeah, well, that's essentially all Vegas, isn't it? Full of those little chapels that you can
effectively
get. I've always said I'd love to go to Vegas for like my stag do, but I just know for a fact me and you for a laugh would like sneak off and end up getting married somewhere.
Get married, like I'd have to come home and annul my current marriage. Oh dear. In desperation, Homer applies at the smaller businesses in the area, but his efforts prove to be fruitless, and his and Marge's newly purchased baby supplies alongside Marge's wedding ring are repossessed. That's a sad state of affairs, isn't it?
Yeah, just how cheery the guy is. He comes in like, here for the baby's things.
Yeah. I would genuinely feel like a huge failure as a father and a partner if that was like what I'd mustered.
It is genuinely just sad, like this part of the episode. Like, there's nothing else you can really say about it. You do feel a bit bad for all
of that. I mean, me and my family are sitting here in our wooden shack, and I think I've done quite well.
Built it with his bare hands, he did.
Exactly. There's not even that many rats now. and the rats we do have don't swear or wear biker jackets,
which was a big problem at first, wasn't it?
It was very difficult. Every time I would walk into my living room, a rat would spit chewing tobacco at us. Call us a punk. Ask why I don't ride a Harley. Stupid, just stupid.
What are you on about?
I tell you what, I'm giddy because I know Sunderland have sacked the manager, so it's starting to seep in. Like, I can't maintain my seriousness, basically.
Well, it's literally just been on Sky there.
Has it really? There we go then. Hooray, we can find it. There'll be a reaction pod. So if you do want to listen to that, people, Sensible Sunderland is the podcast name. Right, so we are at the point where Homer is remorseful for not being a suitable husband for Marge. He leaves to find steady work, hoping to return once he's able to support his family appropriately. He leaves Marge a note explaining his departure, and she is devastated when she reads it. I do feel Homer was a bit dramatic here.
Yeah, he does it a lot, doesn't he? He's quick to abandon his family. Like,
but he was going to kill himself not so long ago.
Yeah, exactly. I did cause I love, like, it's awful, but it is hilarious how much Marge's family hate Homer as well. Like,
it's awful, isn't it?
Even when he's like, even when he's writing his note and her mum's like, stop scratching with that pen down there. Like, how can you hear that?
Like, something, so, like, that's nothing or else of the other. That's like, it's nothing. Don't get upset. There's a joke, it's a later seasons where like Marge's like, oh, I'm worried about Homer, where is he? And Paddy and Summer goes, maybe he disappeared in the fat air. like they're just needlessly cynical about them. But then, to be fair, Homer does get Paddy and Summer in a headlock and drag them out the house.
So. Yeah, he has committed assault more than once. Understandable.
Ultimately, Homer finds himself working at the fast food restaurant. Patty and Selma see Homer working at the restaurant during an outing, but decide not to tell Marge where he is because of their disdain for him. That was really shitty, wasn't it?
Yeah, like that. At first, I thought, oh, like they're just trying to protect her, but then it becomes obvious that they are just doing it so they don't get back together.
Yeah, like Homer, you can dislike somebody, but you're going home and seeing your sister in like a disarray because of like a partner's left her. And then rather than making her feel a little bit happy, I mean, Selma changes her mind in fairness, but like Patty's like, no, don't. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
And I do feel for Marge because she looks very sad. And a sad Marge always makes me sad. I don't know why.
Yeah. Do you know why? Because it's like your mum. It's like seeing your mum sad.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's not nice. It's not nice.
Selma later changes her mind and tells Marge when she sees her sister's despondency. After reconciling with his wife, a reinvigorated Homer reapplies for the power plant, telling Mr. Burns he will be the perfect employee due to his unwavering subservience. Great line. Mr. Burns is impressed by Homer and readily hires him. I mean, Homer's a bad bet to take on as an employee, isn't he?
Did you notice before Homer gets in, when he rips his, like, gulp and blow shirt off, how he's wearing an iShot GR?
Yes, yeah, very good.
Time capsule from the time. It always reminds us of Tom from Father Ted.
Yes, exactly that.
Father, I've killed a man. Not right now. I'm about to be on the television.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the priest not listening. So he ran off with the babysitter and he got her pregnant, but then the wife's pregnant as well, but so is the girlfriend on the side. Oh, Ted, brilliant. And when's his next confession? Like breaking the sanctity of confession from a gossip. Oh dear. Anyway, we're back to the hospital and Homer announces that he has found work at the plant, allowing him to pay for Bart's imminent delivery. And very soon Bart is born. I did like that Homer wanted to deliver the baby himself because he's so full of confidence.
And he's willing to fight Dr. Hibbert, who tells him no. Like, oh, college boy, yeah, he's a cool exactly.
Like, he's tails in the air, so he can do anything, including deliver a child.
I did love that when he comes in and he announces that he's going to be a nuclear physician, and Dr. Hibbert's just like, good Lord. Like,
it's funny.
The idea of this man being honestly, nuclear power.
That's how my family of friends look at me whenever I announce I'm going to a different job, like whatever it is. There is no way you would do that job, my son.
But you do. That's it. You know what it is, Dan? We give you a lot of stick, but you always pull it out the bag. That is your superpower, like.
I think I'm an idiot, but I find a way through. Yeah, I suppose I'm a bit like Homer, yeah.
You're Homer, yeah. You get by on like a wing and a prayer and it always seems to work out in your favour.
Yeah, and I'll take that because not a lot of people have that talent, so I'll take it. Like, you know,
On the other hand, I'm Frank Grimes. I'm Frank Grimes to your Homer Simpson.
Just like I'm having lobster and watching the Champions League. You, on the other hand, you're having like a Big Mac and watching terrestrial TV. Bart is born and promptly sets Homer's tie on fire. I love that. Like from minute one, Bart's a nuisance.
Why has Homer got a lighter?
Well, this is it. He doesn't smoke and he probably just picked it up from the hospital somewhere.
Yeah, he probably just stole it, really.
I mean, that's probably what they use to like stem wounds. Like, someone's had a limb chopped off, could cauterize the end quickly and Homer took the lighter. Homer ends his flashback and he tells Bart, Lisa and Maggie that he is blessed to have such children and he does not regret having them at all. When Marge arrives back with the news that she isn't pregnant, Homer and Marge share a celebratory high five. Very good. It was a good way to end the episode, that Homer, oh, I love my kids so much. Oh, Homer, I'm not pregnant. Yes, thank God.
Get in. No, you would though, wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean? Oh, like, Bart, you'd be like, we can't have another kid.
Yeah, I think three would be enough, to be honest. Like, I know there's probably people out there who've got like 4 and 5 kids and fair play to you, but like one is hard work, two, but maybe it would just get to a point where, look, like if you've got three, you might as well have five because you don't have any spare time. Like, the world's just a tornado for you now, so just get on with it.
It's these people that you see and they just always seem to be pregnant. Like, I've got people on social media who are that constantly just in a state of like pregnancy and I'm like, didn't you just have a kid? And then like a week later they're like 6 months gone again and I'm like, hang on.
Yeah, like a lactating heifer in a dairy farm just constantly made pregnant.
If you like, yeah, I suppose.
Sorry, did I make that a bit grim there? Sorry.
I felt a bit nasty, that a bit vicious.
I meant it was sad for the cows, really. They'll have to maintain like a constant pregnancy. I don't care about people. It's the animals. Just a shame you can't have like people burgers.
What an odd thing to say.
I'm not preparing people burgers right now. No.
Daniel Burgers.
Did you learn anything from the episode, Anthony?
Not a thing. One thing I did kind of like find myself asking myself when I was watching it was the bit where Homer ruins the end of Empire Strikes Back for everybody. And it made me think, like, that sort of twist, like, imagine getting that level of, because that would have been groundbreaking at the time. Like, oh my God. But it made me think, of all the films you've seen, which one would you like to go and watch again for the first time? Like, you can have it erased from your memory and you get to watch it again for the first
Lord of the Rings.
Time.
Lord of the Rings.
Really?
All day. Yeah, absolutely. All day, Lord of the Rings.
Not like a twist one, because I think that's the best thing when you get like a good twist and you're like, oh.
I don't like surprises.
Yeah,
I think that's the ADHD thing. I don't like it when I can't say what's coming.
You getting like really stressed at Elrond's castle, being like, can we just decide who's taking this ring to Mordor, please? I can't cope.
like having a poo and being sick at the same time because I'm starting to get chewed.
You have my sword and my axe. Why, you can't all go, man. Someone needs to stay here.
You have my bow, my sword, my axe, and my poo, Frodo. Frodo, do you need poo? Because I'm getting it.
Smitten it on the telly.
There's some steak up on that poo.
You're going to like it, Frodo. You're going to like it none.
It's so stupid. Well, listeners, I haven't learned anything either. So
I don't think anyone else has either. So.
On that note, we will leave you there. Thank you for listening to Podcast for another week. Do join us again in 7 days' time when we will be reviewing. Anthony, do you know what it is?
It is... No, I don't.
It is Radio Bart.
Oh, I like this one. It's a
Bella. Yeah, it's sending our love down the well.
On the way down.
I teed that up for you because I was hoping you were going to do that. So again, thank you. Do follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're on buymeacoffee.com/podpals podcast, something like that. you can donate the show if you really want to. Me and I don't really care because we're just in it for the love of our listeners. I mean, I'll come back next week and I'll be like, right, let's start the Patreon thing.
I need money, Dan, so we're going to start something.
Do tell a friend about the podcast if you think what we've said has any merits. I don't think you will.
We totally understand if you didn't, but
I would understand if you unsubscribed, to be frank.
No hard feelings here.
Nobody would blame you, least of all me, Nan.
Right.
Okay, man. We're done. Thank you, everybody. Big kiss. We'll see you all next week.
Bye-bye now.